This is the fourth Epiphany Sunday on which I've preached a variation of this sermon. I preach it each year because it is the best summary that I have of what I seek to do for you in my pastoral ministry. And that is to declare the certainty of God's love for you in Jesus Christ. Our text this morning comes from Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Listen again this morning to God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Thus far the reading of God's word. It is absolutely true. It is given to you because your Father in heaven loves you. Let's pray. Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation and thoughts of all of our hearts gathered here together in your presence would be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And I ask this in the name of the one who is our rock and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Two of my favorite questions in the Westminster Larger Catechism are questions 66 and 83. They're printed on the back of your order of worship. Question 66 reads like this. It says, "What is the union which the elect have with Christ?" The answer, "The union which the elect have with Christ is the work of God's grace, whereby they are spiritually and mystically, yet really and inseparably joined to Christ as their head and husband." And question 83 reads this way, "What is the communion in glory with Christ which the members of the invisible church enjoy in this life?" The members of the invisible church have communicated to them in this life the first fruits of glory with Christ, as they are members of Him, their head, and in Him have been given interest in that glory which He is fully possessed of, and as an earnest thereof enjoy the sense of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, and hope of glory. What these two questions taken together are basically saying is this. They are saying, if you belong to Jesus this morning, if you have been baptized in His name, and you have trusted in Him, then you have been united to the same Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. You have been made one with Him such that He is your head and your husband. As Calvin puts it, he says that He makes us, that is Christ, engrafted into His body, participants not only in all His benefits, but also in Himself. But since Christ has been so imparted to you with all His benefits, so that all He has are made yours, you are one with Christ, and that means that whatever is true for Jesus is also true for you. You have a share in the glory that He possesses now in heaven at His Father's right hand. You have a share in the peace of His conscience that He has now because He has been declared fully righteous by His Father. You have a share in the fullness of His joy that He experiences now in the Holy Ghost at His Father's right hand. And just as Jesus knows for certain that He is the eternally beloved Son of God, if you are united to Jesus Christ, then you are the beloved of God as well. That's what Paul means when he says in Romans that we are not only the children of God, but also heirs. And not only heirs, but also heirs with Christ. Heirs with Christ. Whatever is true for Jesus is true also now for us. That's what it means to be united to Jesus. It means that all of our life is played out in union with Him. It means that in our sufferings, we do not suffer alone. We suffer in union with Jesus. In our triumphs, we don't triumph alone. We triumph in union with Jesus. When we work, when we eat, when we laugh, when we sleep, all of this is done in union and communion with our husband and our head, the one to whom we have been joined spiritually and mystically, yet really and inseparably, Jesus the Christ, the incarnate, crucified, risen, and ascended Lord. And that means in this passage this morning from Matthew 3, when God the Father says to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in His baptism, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He is saying that to you as well. God the Father here declares Jesus to be His beloved Son because He wants you to know and to hear and to believe that you also in Christ are the beloved of God. You are the beloved. If you are in Christ, then these words are for you. When God says to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," He is saying those words to you. The reason we who follow Christ are baptized at all is because He was baptized. And in our baptism, our life is bound up with His. There's no verse in the Scriptures, I've looked, I cannot find it, that says Josh Anderson is the beloved of God. But here in this passage, it says that about Jesus. And because it says it about Jesus, it also says it about me. And it says it about you as well. At least part of the reason Jesus, or God says these words to Jesus in this passage, part of the reason He calls Him here His beloved Son with whom He is well pleased, is so that when you are tempted, as I know that you will be, to doubt the reality of God's love in your life, you can turn here to Matthew 3, to this passage, and remember, I am united to Jesus. And so I am the beloved of God. Did you hear Jesus' prayer this morning from the gospel reading in John 17? It's astounding. He says to His Father, He says, "The glory You have given Me, I have given to them," that is My disciples, "that they may be one even as We are one. I in them, You in Me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me and loved them even as You loved Me." Did you hear what Jesus says there? What Jesus is saying is that He wants to be one with His disciples in such a way that the world will know that His Father has loved His disciples, those He's been made one with, in the same way that He has loved His beloved and begotten eternally Son. What Jesus is saying is that God loves you with the same love that He has loved Jesus since before the foundation of the world. God loved His Son before anything was made. But guess what? The mystery of the faith that we confess is that He loves you in the same way. What I'm trying to say is this. Hear me. I am trying to say, you, friend, you are the beloved. You. Not just the church as a whole gathered here together, not just the person sitting in the pew in front of you who seems like they've probably got their life together, not just anyone whom you're tempted to think is more spiritual or lovable than you are?
No, I mean you. I mean that you are the Beloved. You are the Beloved.
Your Heavenly Father, who knows everything, every single thing you have ever done, all of it, every sin, every thought, every imperfection, every fear, every doubt, He looks at you and He simply says, "You are my Beloved." There are so many words that are true for us, right? So many names that we can try to pin upon ourselves, so many descriptions we can use. Well, I say we are weak, we are tired, we are fearful, we are sinners. And yet beneath all of those descriptions, at the bottom of everyone, beneath all those labels, there is a name. There is a title that is true for us more than any other name. And that is that we are the Beloved of God. The weight of this reality, that we are the Beloved of God, it is almost more than we can bear, right? The glory of the name Beloved, spoken to us by God, it is almost too much. God's love for us is like looking directly at the sun at high noon. We may try to do it, but we have to look away almost as soon as we do because it is too much. It is too intense. But still, His love for us is true. It is, even though it is beyond our power to fully comprehend. C.S. Lewis, he puts it this way. He says, to please God, to be a real ingredient in the divine happiness, to be loved by God, not merely pitied, but delighted in, as an artist delights in his work or a father in a son, it seems impossible. A weight or burden of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain. But so it is. Yes, brothers and sisters, so it is. And the reality of God's love means simply this. You are the Beloved. You are the Beloved. When God created the world, friend, He did it for you. And you know why He did it? Because you are the Beloved. When He hung the stars in the sky, He hung them for you. For you. Of course He did it for His own glory, and of course He did it because of His love for all humanity, but He also did it for you as an individual, unique person, because you are the Beloved. God's passionate love for the human race, it is not only wide enough to encompass the whole world, it is also particular enough to isolate each one of us out from the billions of humanity and to bring us each as individuals, as a particular man, a particular woman, before the full force of His personality and His being and His love. This is how the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians. He says, if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Not if anyone loves God, he knows God, but no, if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Do you hear that? If you love God, then you are known by God. You are known by Him. Known not just intellectually, but personally, known intimately, known individually, known as a father knows his child, known even as the Scriptures compel us to say, as a husband knows his wife. That is how you are known by God. And that means that somehow in the mystery and power of God's eternal triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before you existed, He imagined you. He knew the person that you would be. And when He hung the stars, He did it because of His love for you. Because you are the Beloved. And when He gathered the dry land and He called it earth, when He pushed the mountains toward the sky, when He crafted the deep seas and filled them with all that He made,
He did all those things for you. Because somehow, inexplicably, wondrously, mysteriously, you are indeed the Beloved. I encourage you to, just for a moment, think of the most beautiful place, your favorite place that you've ever been in all the places that God has made, all of His creation. Right? That place that feels like home. That place that when you visit gives you a sense of peace and wonder and beauty and rest. I know for myself there are several places like that. There's a hill up off the Rappahannock River in Virginia where my great-grandfather's cottage sat, that I would go in the summer and just sit up there with a glass of iced tea and look down on the river. It felt like home. Another place is in the mountains in Virginia, in the Blue Ridge, a place called Spy Rock that my father took me to the first time when I was probably like 8 or 9 or 10. And I just looked out over the Shenandoah Valley from this rock outcrop, and you could just see clearly all these little houses and towns. It was so beautiful, like little toy cars driving on the road. And I felt peace. Those are two places I think of, places that I love to be, that I remember with pleasure. Here's the thing. Whatever that place is for you in all creation, whatever it might be, here's the thing about that. At least one of the reasons that God made that place in particular when He made all that there is because He knew one day you would be born. He knew it. He knew that you would be born, and He knew that you would grow up, and one day you would go to that place, and you would love it. God made it for you. He made it for you because He longed for you to delight in it and to be happy, because you are the Beloved. And God did not only make the world because of His love for you. He also refused to let His love get off track when sin came into the world. In fact, friend, He worked His story of salvation for you because you are the Beloved. When God kept Noah and his family safe from the waters that covered the earth, He did it for you. That was for you because you are the Beloved. And if He had not done it, He could not have had you. When God called Abraham and took him to a place he did not know and told him He would bless all the families of the earth, when He pointed toward the stars in the sky, one of those stars was you. Because you are the Beloved. And when God delivered Israel out of bondage in Egypt, He did it for you. Because you are the Beloved. When He made the walls of Jericho fall down, He did it for you. When God taught David the words of the Psalter and told them to write them down in a book, He did it because He wanted you to pray those words. Because you are the Beloved. And when God showed the prophets visions of the new creation, when He made them dream dreams and write poems, He did it so that you would know where you would live with Him one day. And most importantly, when God Himself took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, when He was made man, when He died naked on a cross and rose again on the third day, He did not only do it for the world, only for the elect. He also did it for you, for you, because you are the Beloved. And when He comes again, when He finally makes all things new, when Jesus creates a new heavens and a new earth, one that is even more rich and beautiful and glorious than the one that we now inhabit, it will be for you, because you are the Beloved. And so, friends, this morning, my application is simply this. This week, this month, this year, I invite you, I exhort you even to wrestle and reflect on what this means, that you are indeed the Beloved of God, that this is the thing that is most fundamentally true about who you are,
In other words, your job, your assignment from your pastor this year, your charge is just to be the beloved. That's what I want you to do. Just be the beloved. What if this year, if you just took 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, I'll take 2 minutes, in the morning or the evening maybe, sometime when you have a few minutes alone, and you just sat and thought about the fact that you are the beloved. If you just thought about the reality of how much God loves you. What if you just sat still and did nothing for 5 minutes a day, but meditate on the reality that in Christ you are indeed the beloved son, the beloved daughter of God, that God is already well pleased in you. What if you just sat still and did nothing but that? What if you just sat still and tried to be the beloved? I'm guessing that that might be very hard for some of us. But I also think that it might be very good for all of us. And I know that some of you are thinking, that is crazy what you were talking about. I need to be able to do something. And I would just simply say, stop trying to do things so much. Stop trying to prove yourself so much. Just be the beloved of God. It is enough. It is. Be His beloved and see what will happen. And some of you may be thinking, be the beloved? Be the beloved? Are you crazy? Do you have any idea what my life is really like? What I am really like underneath? How fearful and sinful and overwhelmed I am all of the time, every single second? And I would say, no, I do not. I know that you hide that. I don't know it fully. But God does. He knows it. He knows all of what you have to hide. And still He says, you are my beloved. That's what He says. He says, you are the beloved. So listen to Him. Be the beloved. And see what happens. I think part of what will happen is that you will be freed to love in new ways. Not to love out of hunger or desperation or fear, but to love out of the freedom that is known only by those who have come to believe in their bones that they are the beloved. You see, friends, all of us are called to be like Jesus. If there's anything that is central to the Christian life all throughout the New Testament is that we need to be like Jesus. Live like Him, imitate Him. And here is the thing, all of what Jesus was and did and said started with this fundamental reality. He knew that He was the beloved. And if we are going to be like Jesus, we have to start where He does. We have to learn what it means to be the beloved. I don't know fully what that means for any of us. I know that in many ways, to learn what it means that we are the beloved is the great test of our spiritual lives. It is. Because our belovedness is the secret that is hidden at the core of our being. It is the truth that is most truly true for each of us. Friend, you belong to God in Jesus Christ, and He will never let you go. Because you are the beloved. Live in His love this morning. Be the beloved, brothers and sisters, even the beloved of God. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Christ we are not only Your children, but we've been made heirs. And not only heirs, but fellow heirs even with Christ Himself. That just as He is Your beloved Son, so also are we Your beloved sons and daughters, joined to Him who is our head and our husband. Father, help us this year even to learn what it means to be the beloved. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.